This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Our show originates from the Investar Tower in Baton Rouge. Robin Dow is our producer, and your number is 877-217-5757, 877-217-5757. Our email address is talk@talklouisiana.org. In short order, we'll hear from Dan Moldea. Lots to talk about on the political scene, 99 days away from the November 5th election. But a couple of months ago, the New York Times reminded us that this, July 29th, is the 50th anniversary of Mama Cass's death. She was only 32 years old, had an amazing career. She was the mainstay with the Mamas and Papas, but also she had advanced into a successful single career as a solo artist, and she was one of the first female late-night talk show hosts as one of the more popular replacements when Johnny Carson was on one of his many vacations. But she died 50 years ago. Her daughter has written her life story, and she died in London, born in Baltimore. And there were reports that she had died of choking on a ham sandwich, which turned out to be totally untrue. And John Wirt is with us, the music critic, who's been doing his thing for The Advocate and other places now for almost 30 years. And good morning to you, John.
Good morning, Jim.
And I guess if we count your other stays, it has been over 30 years. So you know your stuff, and you and I are old enough to remember Mama Cass.
Yes,
she was something.
Yes, I like them very much. A great 60s vocal group. Great songs written by John Phillips, and you had four singers in the group. And Cass was actually the outstanding singer, the best vocalist, and she got some of the solo things within the group. And later, of course, like you mentioned, she became a solo artist. She's not remembered maybe as much as Jim Morrison and Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin, for instance, but she was a great talent, and they had a lot of success.
If she had died at 27,
she'd
be known with the others. They all died at 27.
That's correct.
She died at 32. And for years, the origin of the story that she died from choking on a ham sandwich, which is one of the cruelest and most persistent myths in rock and roll history, was largely unknown. Then in 2020, a friend of hers, Sue Cameron, an entertainment journalist, admitted to publicizing it in her Hollywood Reporter obituary at the behest of Elliot's manager, Alan Carr, who didn't want his client associated with drug use. Cass Elliott died of a heart attack likely brought on by years of substance abuse and crash dieting. She did not die of choking on a ham sandwich. But quite a catalog of classics from the Mamas and Papas and some good solo efforts by Cass Elliott. And Robin Dow has chosen their lone number one, which is really appropriate for this day. And I'm sure people will remember this song, those of us who were around in the 1965. I was seven, but it's their only number one, and here it is.
Monday, Monday, so good to me. Monday morning, it was all I hoped it would be.
All right, that's Denny Doherty, I believe, singing, but Mama Cass here in the background.
Yes.
And it was surprisingly their only number one, but they did have several other songs that were in the top five. Dedicated to the One I Love was number two. As California Dreamin' was four. I Saw Her Again, number five. Words of Love, number five. Creek Alley, five. So they had quite a ride in just a few short years. Like a lot of these bands, John, they were not around that long.
The Mamas and the Papas existed for only 3 years. They had all that success and so many hits in those very few years. And then Cass Elliott's solo career lasted only another 6 years, because, as you said, she died at 32 years old in 1974 on this date. And I like what the New York Times brought up in their story in May, that this joke about her, this story about her choking on a ham sandwich became the most enduring, longest-lasting fat joke in the history of pop culture, because that's not what happened.
Well, she was a big lady, and at 32, of course, that's dangerous at any age, but she was enormously popular. And the band, of course, had lots and lots of issues, shall we say, including an affair apparently between Denny Doherty and Michelle Phillips, who was married to John Phillips, who as we heard later, allegedly had an incestuous relationship with his daughter, the actress Mackenzie Phillips, who was not Michelle's daughter, but anyway.
And Cass Elliot, by the way, this is an important part of it. She was had unrequited love for Denny Doherty.
That's correct.
And it was never fulfilled, and he felt bad about it, and he said, I was never man enough to tell her that I didn't love her the way she wanted me to love her.
Wow. What's your favorite Mamas and Papas song?
12:30 Young Girls Are Coming to the Canyon. It's really beautiful. It's a great example of the pathos and the hope that I hear in a lot of their songs.
All right, Robin, do we have that one? Robin's quick. She's at the ready for John Word, his favorite Mama's Papa song.
Live in New York City. Everything there was dark and dirty. Outside my window was a steeple with a clock that always said 12:30.
Definitely here or there.
Oh,
Sammy
yes.
Davis Jr. loved her sound. Remember, he had a talk show too.
Right.
He called it the now sound in those days, and she was definitely the now sound. What a voice. What a voice.
Yeah, beautiful.
And she went on, as you said, to a single career. Never had a number one, but had several hits, and once again, a brief period, a very brief period, as a solo artist. And I remember 1970 when I was in the sixth grade. This is a song that's held up well. I chose this one. This is my favorite Mama Cass song. And Robin Dow, once again, she's got it ready. A new world coming.
There's a new world coming, and it's just around the bend. There's a new This one's coming to an end. There's a new voice calling. You can hear it if you try. And it's growing stronger with each day that passes by. There's a brand new morning, rising clear sweet and free. There's a new day dawning that belongs to you and me.
Yes. Gone too soon, 32 years old. And you think of somebody born in 1941, she's about the same age as Joe Biden and Donald Trump's in that same vintage. She died April 29th, 1974, 50 years ago today in London. But a week earlier, she collapsed in the studio of The Tonight Show in Burbank, starring Johnny Carson. And immediately before her scheduled appearance on the show, was treated at a hospital release, dismissed the incident as simple exhaustion. And soon after, she videotaped an appearance on The Mike Douglas Show in Philadelphia and began her two-week tour in London, and that's when she lost her life. She attended the 31st birthday party of Mick Jagger shortly before her death. And at the party, she went to a brunch in her honor presented by Georgia Brown. And she was blowing her nose, coughing, having trouble breathing, and she ultimately retired to an apartment at Mayfair and died there in London. Owned apartment, ironically, John, owned by Harry Nilsson.
That's right.
All these stars blending together. But so many of them died young, and many of them have Louisiana connections. And a listener asked, did she ever perform here? I don't know that she did.
I'm not aware of her performing here, but it's possible, but maybe unlikely.
Not like Elvis, who was frequently in Louisiana.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Elvis made like 6 appearances in Monroe. Colonel Parker, he had him going here, there, and everywhere. And, of course, he made movies, including one with Donna Douglas.
Yes.
But thank you, John. We'll be back with Dan Moldea after this. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Robin Dow at the ready if you'd like to join the conversation at 877-217-5757. Dan Moldea is with us. 4 weeks ago, 28 days ago, he was on this show shortly after Joe Biden's miserable debate performance in Atlanta of June 27th. Think about that. That was a month and 2 days ago. A lot has happened, as we know. And Biden held on. He wanted to be retained as the nominee, and then former President Trump got shot or was hit by shrapnel in Butler, PA, and then Joe Biden, after being talked to by Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama and others, decided to give up the ghost and immediately backed his vice president, and now there is this sweeping momentum. She has raised $200 million and more in 1 week. There is great enthusiasm for Kamala Harris. Now, polls, according to Real Clear Politics, if you go by the Vegas odds, Donald Trump is still 16 points in front of her, but that's down from 30 points a week ago. So she has closed the gap, and there's 99 days between now and the election day, and much will happen between now and November 5th. And another development is that Donald Trump chose his running mate, J.D. Vance, who's off to a rocky start as the number two person on the Republican ticket. And now Kamala Harris has an opportunity, or she could misfire as well, with her choice as a running mate. And there are several Democrats in the running, and we will talk about that with Dan Moldea. Again, 877-217-5757 is your number. Dan, you called it. Congratulations. And now the Democrats have the nominee you said they should have chosen. How is it looking?
I think it looks good, but there's more that I said in the prediction. And a lot of it had to do with doing everything possible to prevent a civil war in Chicago, a repeat of the 1968 Democratic National Convention, also in Chicago. And that is the key right now. They're going to have to prevent that, some unpleasantness happening. And I can assure you, there are going to be protests in Chicago, and there are going to be attempts to disrupt the convention. And that is going to be something that must be prevented. The problem is that it's the Chicago police, which, as you recall, in 1968, which caused what has been widely known as a police riot, mm-hmm. where they went after demonstrators in and out of the convention center, delegates even. And as a consequence of that, the Democrats came out of the convention divided, and they lost the election in November to Richard Nixon, which caused a whole bunch of other kinds of problems.
Well, there are parallels. Hubert Humphrey in 68 got the nomination without winning one primary. He was right. The vice president, graduate of LSU, as we've noted on this show. And then you've got Kamala Harris, who is out to a roaring start, to the point where Donald Trump is now saying he may not debate her, and perhaps for good reason. She would be a much more forceful debater than Joe Biden was. And he's got a lead that he's trying to protect. I can't see Trump going into the four corners, though. I just can't see that happening, Dan.
As you said so well, a month ago, things were so different. you know, all the Democrats, Joe Biden was digging in, and it didn't look like he was going to leave, and he had to. He had to go. God bless him. He's been a great president, greatest one-term president we've ever had, but he had to go because he could not prosecute this fight against Donald Trump, who is the biggest threat to democracy in American history. And, I mean, believe what he's saying. The things that he's saying are indicative of that. However, when he mercifully survived the gunshot wound from that cowardly assassin, would-be assassin, who killed a firefighter with I think, three children. I mean, we thought that Donald Trump would go to the convention and that he would be celebrating, witnessing sunrises and sunsets. We thought that there would be pictures of him hugging puppies and kitties, and we thought that he would be ushering in a new era of peace and understanding, while toning down his usual, rhetoric, his harsh rhetoric. And what's happened? He sort of doubled down on all of that, and he learned nothing from the experience. And so, meantime, Kamala has done a great job in pulling everything together. I mean, like I said, a month ago, all of us were looking like, all of us who supported Joe Biden, were looking like our dogs had just died. And here we are, you know, X amount of weeks later, and Kamala Harris has brought us all together. As you said, she's raised $200 million, not to mention the money that was already in the coffers for the Harris, for the Biden-Harris campaign. And so she's the perfect candidate at the perfect time. And the question is, who's she going to pick as her vice president? And I'm hoping that she picks combat veteran, war hero, astronaut Mark Kelly from Arizona, senator from Arizona, whose wife, Gabby Giffords, as you know, was the target of an assassin and was among 19 people who were shot and wounded, six of whom were killed. And so, you know, Donald Trump is banging the tambourine about his near death experience. You know, Mark Kelly has quite a story to tell about that too.
He
so
does.
I'm hoping that she picks Mark Kelly as her vice president.
877-217-5757. We will go to the phone lines with Dan Moldea. Mark Kelly was on this show several years ago, and he is an American hero.
Absolutely.
But I look today, she's 6 points behind in Arizona. She's 3 points behind in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania has 19 electoral votes. Arizona has 11. And Josh Shapiro is a very good, very good candidate. But he doesn't have the military background, and neither does Harris. And to be fair, I've said on this show that Donald Trump is the first U.S. president to have never had anybody in his whole family, not just him, but his whole family, ever serve in the U.S. Armed Forces. As we know, Trump got a doctor's excuse to stay out of Vietnam with bone spurs, but neither does Kamala Harris. So Kelly would be a great ticket balancer, but Shapiro is an awful...
Vance, who's a Marine, who never saw any action and was proud of the fact that he never was in any combat situation. He was essentially a reporter for the Marines. And
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that at all. He served and everything else. But I can hear Vance, weirdo hillbilly boy, talking about that he's the only one who's had military service. If he tries to play that with Mark Kelly, Mark Kelly will eat him alive, which he's going to do anyway. And I'd be interested in your opinion about this. Do you think that Donald Trump has buyer's remorse on J.D. Vance?
I do, but I think he'll never say it. But I'm sure he's thinking, my God, I should have chosen the guy in North Dakota. South Dakota. South Dakota, isn't it? Doug Burgum? Yeah.
Right.
But
the guy with the money.
Guy with the money and a guy who's as bland, as bland as this console I'm looking at. Trump does not want outrageous. We already have outrageous with him. It's like married couples. As Manuel Martinez says, you can only have one peacock. Well, they've got two peacocks on the ticket, Dan and Trump and Vance.
Right. What'd you think about his cat lady thing?
Well, that's crazy, and I can't see that helping him or Trump. And it's at the very least insensitive. And I thought Stuart Stevens, the Republican who dislikes Trump a lot, he said in that race in 2020 that Vance won in Ohio, he ran like 7 points behind the governor. The governor carried him across the finish line in a race right. in which Vance won by a much closer margin. And he's a one-termer. He's not really had the grand stage other than as a celebrity. And unlike Trump, I'm not sure he can cover up his faux pas. That was a really dumb statement, as was the one saying that we ought to be able to vote by the number of children we have. Imagine the voter fraud on that one. But we'll talk more with Dan and go to the phone lines with you. And we do have, Robin Says, a line open at 877-217-5757. Back with Talk Louisiana after this quick timeout on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana. Dan Moldeo with us. Your number, 877-217-5757. Tomorrow we are slated to visit in studio with Jeffrey Martin Landry, the 57th governor of Louisiana. So that will be interesting. Dan Moldea is with us. They have different views. Dan's from the left, and of course our governor is from the right side of the spectrum, as is Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, the pride of Benton, Louisiana. Dan, Holly in the Garden District asked me to point you to this statement that Johnson said in many places. Democrats have been complicit in the largest political cover-up in history. Those comments, without providing evidence, accuse Kamala Harris and other top Democrats of a cover-up to hide the state of Joe Biden's physical and mental fitness. Is that fair, or is Speaker Johnson on to something?
I don't think Speaker Johnson's onto anything. I have zero regard for this guy. He is, you know, I could go on, and I don't put any credence in anything that Speaker Johnson says about anything.
Okay. 877-217-5757 is your number, and a listener says that Harris should appoint a governor rather than a senator, somebody who has run a state. That would not include Mark Kelly, who I think is probably on paper still the best prospect, but he's from Arizona, which is going to be a tough sell this time around. But there are some governors, including Andy Beshear of Kentucky, the governor of North Carolina. They've got some opportunities here, and the Democrats are finding out that if they had had Gretchen Whitmer, of course, Michigan, what if he chose her? What if she chose?
I would love it. I would love it if he chose. If he chose Gretchen Whitmer, chose Gretchen Whitmer. They're having two really tough women. And let me tell you something. Gretchen Whitmer, after everything she's been through with that conspiracy against her by those knuckle draggers from the militia operations in Michigan, where they were going to kidnap her because of her anti-COVID, you know, she was trying to save the people of Michigan, and because of her program to save people from COVID, they decided to kidnap her, put her on trial, and execute her. This woman has more guts than any man in Washington, as far as I'm concerned, and I think she would be a terrific running mate. In fact, she may wait until 2028 or 2032 and run for president herself. I love Gretchen Whitmer. I think she's terrific. Right now, though, I think these guys, I think Shapiro, the future, Whitmer, the future, Beshear, the future. Mm-hmm. I think these people are, right now we need to get past this moment. We need to repudiate Donald Trump for the second time, and we need to do it with a candidate who could go contrary to him and to his vice president, J.D. Vance.
You're listening to the voice of Dan Moldea, 877-217-5757. We're going to the phones in a moment. I'm getting lots of interesting observations online. Over the weekend, Trump called Harris, Kamala Harris, Vice President Harris, he called her a low IQ individual and a bum.
Well, you know, Trump is a punk and a coward. Let me get down into the mud with that jerk. And we've seen this over and over and over again. We're talking about a guy who's had how many civil cases decided against him by juries. He's been criminally convicted of 34 counts in the New York State case. and he is a person who is tried to overthrow the 2020 election through the Capitol insurrection on January 6th, for which he should be on trial right now. And to me, it's unfortunate that the U.S. Supreme Court, which, as far as I'm concerned, is legitimizing organized crime in government. And I think the recent rulings kind of prove that they are legitimizing corruption. They have now essentially given him a path for immunity for his past sins, whereas we've been in America has gone for how many centuries, where this was never necessary. Now the Supreme Court has decided, yes, this is now necessary to give Donald Trump immunity from prosecution for his sins during his that horrible first term and hopefully only term he had as president.
All right, and reminder, tomorrow we'll hear from Jeff Landry. We'll talk to him not only about what's happening locally, but also about the national story, and this is the story. And I mentioned that in Louisiana, a state in which it's highly unlikely a Democrat will win the presidential electoral votes anytime soon, last one to do it was Clinton in 96, we still vote 2-1 for president over we do for governor, which I think is unfortunate, but that's just the way it is. So people are engaged on the national scene. Des Crawford, who listens in Portland, Oregon, formerly of Baton Rouge, she says calling Harris a childless cat lady, as J.D. Vance did. She says, what if Harris, Dan, had been married 3 times and had 5 children with those 3 husbands and slept with a porn star in her marriage? Would that...
well said. What's that gentleman saying? What's his name?
That's Desiree. She's a lady.
Well said. Well said, ma'am. Well, very well said. You ought to write that up. Put it on social media.
Well, yeah, I don't want to get involved in campaigns, but it sounds like Desiree is on the right.
I will. Go do it, lady.
Okay,
you're
all right. Well, there is a double standard, though, shall we say. They're going to throw this relationship she had with Willie Brown, who was long separated from his wife. She was single, and technically he was single, and they had a relationship many years ago. And And supposedly that's why she got to the top. Well, that was a long time ago, and Willie Brown not in the picture.
Jim,
go ahead.
As you know, Jim, you're talking to the world's expert on this. When it comes to the Republicans demanding a showdown on the issue of morality, the Democrats should give it to them. Give it to them, because the Republicans always, always lose. You're talking to the guy who brought down Bob Livingston, who brought down David Vitter, and
Newt Gingrich.
If I had the time and the money, I would love to go after Speaker Johnson and whomever else.
Well, we don't know of anything. I don't think there's anything to be found, but you never know about. And there's some Democrats too. Dan, that's a good question from a listener, and it's a fair one. Would you have as vigorously pursued a Democratic politician as you did those Republican politicians if they were into, shall we say, nocturnal
pursuits?
Jim,
as you know, our whole thing was when Clinton was impeached and they were getting ready to doing everything they possibly could to remove him from office, we came in. Admittedly, I was working with the porn king, Larry Flint. I was the investigator. I was the only investigator. And he put a $1 million reward up, and I had $1 million to work with, to give out, and which we only gave to one person. We only gave money to one person who got nowhere near $1 million. And what this was about was hypocrisy. We were going after people, whether they were Republicans or Democrats, who had conflicting standards of private behavior for public officials, one for those they liked and another for those they didn't like.
Okay.
And so we went after hypocrites.
I got you. And I think that's appropriate.
We caught Republicans where they weren't on, you know, TV, they weren't going on Fox News, you know, talking about the reprehensible behavior by the president. And we threw them back in the river.
Right,
did not interfere with their lives.
Well, I'm not asking you to name names, and I think you burned the records. I think you did. But there were others.
I kept the computer tapes.
But there were others that we'll never know about, right?
a lot, yeah. But and, again, we threw a lot of back in the river.
And that would include some media people, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, 877-217-5757. James in Metairie. James, you're on Talk Louisiana with Dan Moldea.
Well, good morning, Jim, and good morning, Jim, and Don.
Dan,
I'm sorry. By goodness. Thank you, Jim. You know, I've always believed that Trump is such an unprincipled degenerate that he'd convert to Islam if he thought he'd get more votes. The reason I bring that up is that over the weekend he spoke to a group of Christian conservatives and said if they voted for him into office in November, they would never need to vote again. Your take
right,
on that?
Right.
All right.
Right. Who? What was that gentleman's name?
James in Metairie.
James. Well said, yes. You know, it speaks for itself. It speaks for a guy who's an authoritarian, who loves authoritarians, a man who, if he says he would be a dictator for a single day, and every time he says something outrageous like this about some authoritarian thing, his spokespeople say, oh, well, he was just joking. Believe this guy when he says things like that. He wants to turn this into an oligarchy. He admires Putin. He admires the power of the president of China. He admires even the guy from North Korea. Bottom line is...
Yeah.
He says they were in love. They fell in love. So I assume that you.
Yeah, he says he misses me. He misses me.
He misses him, right? Yes, and we'll have more of that if this convict, this bombast, becomes the 47th president.
David in Atlanta. David, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, David.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Baudet, you're going to love this story of hypocrisy. When Al Gore campaigned for president in New Orleans in Jackson Square in 2000, the next day, Bonnie Livingston, the wife of Bob Livingston, was on a New Orleans talk show criticizing and attacking President Clinton's morals. I called it and said, lady, what about your husband's morals? And she was highly upset and offended.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. I'll tell you some inside baseball here, David, from Atlanta, who's a great guy. I was in Larry Flynt's office when Bonnie Livingston called him, and she asked Larry not to go any further than what we had done. And Larry, in my estimation, to his credit, agreed, and he backed off. Now this is about Bob Livingston, who was talking about Larry Flynt being a bottom feeder, and then Larry Flynt responding, and look who I found when I was down there.
Okay, hold that thought.
I don't think they want to prosecute again.
We'll be back with Dan Moldea, and then we'll hear if things go according to plan for Mary Patricia Ray in Paris. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. It's always a pleasure to catch up with Dan Moldea. Hopefully we'll hear from him frequently in the next 99 days as we approach November 5th. And a reminder, tomorrow we're slated to visit with Jeffrey Martin Landry, 57th governor, in studio tomorrow on Tuesday, Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757. We have 1 out of 73 Americans living in Louisiana, and yet we generate far more than 1 out of 73 news stories. And in some of these most sordid stories through the years, Gary Hart, he consorted with a New Orleans native, Donna Rice, and he did so on the monkey business, and his buddy was Billy Broadhurst, the Louisiana Politico.
Right.
And he got run out of a race for having a consensual relationship with a Phi Beta Kappa from the University of South Carolina, Miss Rice. And then we had Bob Livingston, who was pointing fingers at Bill Clinton and doing so robustly. And a listener fairly says that Livingston, at least he was man enough to quit when Dan Moldea caught him red-handed as a person who had had an extramarital liaison. Now, Dan, you were saying that Larry Flynt, who was pounded by the wife of the former congressman, who I think is a good man, and she's a good lady.
There were a lot of people who pounded us, a lot of people.
Well, and they're still married, as Hart and his wife were married until she died.
Just like Bill and Hillary Clinton are still
married. That's correct.
And I credit these people for just keeping their marriages together.
I know. But anyway, you're saying Larry Flynt has a heart.
Oh, I could tell you some stories about... I'll tell you one story. There was there was one person who, Republican, who was a major hypocrite. Major. I mean, I almost relish getting this guy, and I had him. I had the goods. And I got a call from a friend of this Republican. Washington's a small town. And, you know, and my friend said that this target of mine had come to work and had brought a gun. And that the rumor was that he was the next person on his on our list. And he was right. He was. And he decided that when he was named, he was going to put the gun in his mouth, a la Vince Foster, and blow his brains out. And I called Larry. And in fact, I put it in writing. In fact, I sent him a fax. Back then we faxed. And I sent him a fax and I said, how do we live with ourselves if something like this happens? And Larry agreed. And he cut bait. With regard to Bonnie Livingston, she was a very fine woman. And Larry was touched by her, you know, calling him, which had to be one of the most difficult things she's ever done in her life. And to ask us to back off on what else we had on Livingston. And as a consequence of that, you know, Larry, he was a human being. Again, he and I had real problems later on. But with regard to that incident, that particular experience, I thought that he behaved properly. I think that he was respectful about things. I thought he was respectful towards Mrs. Livingston. And I thought that he did the right thing.
Larry Flint died on February 10th, 2021, but he left a mark on American culture. And for a while after he got shot, he was a born-again Christian. And when I was a freshman at LSU, I was walking on the levee, the Mississippi River levee, and I ran into a riverboat, and there was Phil Donahue. The Phil Donahue and his guests were Pat Robertson and Larry Flint.
Oh my God! Were they doing a show?
They were debating. They were debating each other, which was fascinating.
And it was being recorded.
Oh, it's out there for posterity. The Samuel Clements on the banks of the river, Mississippi River in Baton Rouge. Lastly, Johanna Devine, general manager of the Current in Lafayette, she wants you to expound in the last minute about that statement from Trump, and she has the actual quote over the weekend at the Turning Point Action Summit. Get out and vote just this time. You won't have to do it anymore. Four more years. You know what? It'll be fixed. It'll be fine. You won't have to vote anymore, my beautiful Christians. Get out. You've got to get out and vote in 4 years. You don't have to vote again. We'll have it fixed so good you're not going to have to vote. That's a direct quote from the 45th American president.
It's believe what he says. When he uses his authoritarian talk, believe him. Believe him when he speaks this way. Believe when you say he wants absolute power. He loves the immunity thing. And believe me, he was shy with this in his first term as 45. He's not going to be shy as 47. This is a guy who must be, I want him to live a long, healthy life so that he can fully suffer the humiliation after being repudiated in November. And I pray to God that Kamala Harris and Mark Kelly or whomever she picks are going to be able to do this job, and that the Democrats keep together, no civil war in Chicago, they come out of it united, and they beat this guy's ass. That's what I'm hoping
for. Well, Dan, he will never lose a race. In his mind,
that's true.
He will never lose a race.
There'll be another insurrection. I have a feeling, you know, I just can't believe that the American voters who elected Barack Obama, a great president like Barack Obama, and then reelected him, are going to turn around and give this bombast, once again, this bombast, Donald Trump, the key, this convicted criminal, the keys to the car in 2025. I just can't believe they're going to do it.
He is the favorite. So, Dan, we'll
follow.
Well,
she's been out there for 1 week. Let's see what happens after two weeks.
You're right. We'll in 2 weeks and 99 days. 99 days to go. We'll see.
That's right. Okay. That's right.
Thank you, my friend. Good to talk with you.
Always a pleasure, Jim. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We're joined now from Paris by Mary Patricia Ray, the noted political consultant, who, like many Louisianians, and I would say they're in the hundreds if not thousands, they've gone to Paris, and there are a lot of Louisiana representatives. Mondo Duplantis, competing for Sweden, is expected, of course, to win the pole vaulting competition. He is the world record holder. 31 LSU athletes, including Mondo, the pride of Lafayette, by the way. But Mary Patricia, you're in Paris. How's it going so far?
Oh, Jim, it's been the trip of a lifetime. I'm back to Paris this morning from Marseille over the weekend, where I watched some U.S. soccer. And went to the beach, and I'm going to be meeting up with some Louisiana-based athletes that are here on Wednesday for lunch and seeing some tennis matches tomorrow on my birthday. So definitely a bucket list trip and a bucket list event, and I think I'm probably going to be addicted to the Olympics in person from now on.
You'll probably go to every Summer Olympics. I know Mary Patricia, she's a creature of habit, but that's not a bad habit to have. And it is an event, of course, that is the bellwether of all sporting competitions. But as usual, it has a political component. And this is a story that I think you can talk about. Speaker Mike Johnson blasted the opening ceremonies for mocking the Last Supper with a recreation that featured performers in drag. Now, is that a legitimate concern on the part of the Speaker of the House of Representatives, James Michael Johnson?
Well, Jim, I was present at the opening ceremonies the other night, and they were absolutely fantastic. It's my understanding that some of the, especially the NBC coverage, didn't give a lot of context and information about what was going on. And I think that has manifested in terms of a lot of these kind of false rumors. If you just simply kind of Google like a myth-busting piece on Speaker Johnson's claims, and respectfully to Speaker Johnson, the person who designed that part of the show talks a lot about what the purpose was, and it was not a recreation of the Last Supper at all. But you know, to each their own. And this is Paris, and the show was designed by Parisians and by the French, and it had a lot of French flair and cultural references, which I loved seeing, like Les Mis in the show, and of course Celine Dion was amazing. We all loved it.
Well, there's not as much repression in Paris as there is in Paris, Texas, but
you don't say, Jim. I'm having a glass of champagne right now in the shadows of the Notre Dame Cathedral, and I would tend to agree with you in this moment.
Are they talking about politics over there at all?
Well, you know me, I'm picking up the papers, and of course I'm with a friend who's fluent in French, so I'm making him translate everything to me, and I've been learning a lot about the politics of Paris, especially over the last week, and it is fascinating.
Well, you're here, and I know you're having a great time in Paris, and hopefully we'll get you back before you come back, but listener wants your choice for the VP. Who do you think the Democrats should choose? Who should Harris choose as her running mate?
Oh, gosh. You know, Jim, I actually am going to give the political consultant's answer and say I want about another week's worth of polling, and then I'll tell you who I think,
right.
I think Vice President Harris would pick.
All right.
But I'll tell you what, next time I appear, I'll have a definitive answer for you.
All right. Maggie Conaro says, I'm all in for Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota. She continues, Mark Kelly of Arizona has a horrible anti-labor vote earlier this year. And Shapiro is too entrenched and beholden to AIPAC. That's from Maggie Conaro. So I don't think the governor of Minnesota.
I don't love Shapiro, but my pick is just not doable. I would love to see Andy Beshear, and I think just numbers wise that doesn't work. I just really, really like him a lot. I think he'd motivate a lot of women voters.
He can't bring her Kentucky, though. Southeastern Conference.
And he can't really bring her enough electoral votes to make a huge difference compared to some other folks like Shapiro.
He's 46, and if Trump wins, and folks, that's still a possibility, look for Beshear to be a comer in 2028. But it may be Harris running for re-election, and I know that's what a lot of Democrats hope. And she has made up a ton of ground and raised a ton of money in a week. It's been a good week for her, hasn't it, Mary Patricia?
Look, it's been a good week for her. It's been a good week for down ballot candidates, like Senator Cleo Fields, who's running for Congress. You know, there's a trickle down effect even in states where Harris can't win. This has a big impact on how many people are going to come out to vote in a lot of states.
Okay, well, hopefully we can check in with you. You're coming back into the week, correct?
Yes, sir. I'll be back by Friday, especially if any of my clients are listening. I am working from Paris.
I knew you would be. Thank you, Mary Patricia. Have a great time at the
Olympics. Thanks, Jim. Talk to you soon.
That's a deal.
Bye.
And we're back tomorrow. Same time, same place. If things go according to plan with Jeff Landry, stay safe, stay tuned.